Ephesians 5:8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he is himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Psalm 139, 1 and 2. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You do understand my thought from afar. Psalm 139, 1 and 2. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You do understand my thought from afar. Psalm 139, 1 and 2. Psalm 139, 4. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you knew it all. Psalm 139, 4. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you knew it all. Psalm 139, 4. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. John 17:15. Jesus praying said, I do not ask you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. John 17:15. Jesus praying said, I do not ask you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. John 17:15. Children, please stand for Bible class. Would you open your Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. You and I have the wonderful privilege this evening, once again, to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We are blessed individuals because we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have God's Word. We're blessed individuals not only because we have God's Word, but we have the wonderful, magnificent ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're living in this outstanding time known as the Age of Grace, the Church Age. And from Pentecost all the way until the rapture of our family of God, the Church, we have this wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. You and I can be assured that we're cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit because the Bible teaches us that if we admit our faults and failures and sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Over the past weeks, we have been analyzing these wonderful verses in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Tonight, we're looking at Ephesians 5:15. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Would you join me, please, as we pray together? Tonight, Father, we're thankful that we are your children, saved by your matchless grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, not because we deserve this, not because we've done anything to purchase this gift, all because that this is a gift of God's grace. We thank you for the fact that you loved us so much that you were willing to give your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go come to this earth and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And we're the recipients of that magnificent gift of salvation through our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're thankful to our Heavenly Father this evening for the gift of His Son. We're thankful to our Savior for the fact that He was willing to leave heaven's glory and come down here and become the God-man, God incarnate, God in the flesh, for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. We realize that the Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life." We're thankful tonight for the gift of God through Jesus Christ. We pray that in these moments we're studying your word, that we will have a desire to turn our attention away from anything and everything that would be a distraction to us and find ourselves traveling this upward, magnificent journey, this highway of God's grace. We thank you for the opportunity to do this. Bless us in these moments of study this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. What we have emphasized here is to walk carefully each and every day. We'll be able to see that as we get into that verse in just a few moments, but you might want to write somewhere that God has called upon us to walk carefully each and every day, walking in the light of the Son of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. You'll notice we have the verse on the screen for you. It is a verse that is so fantastic and magnificent. It goes like this: "See ye therefore that you carefully walk as wise and not as unwise." We have an emphasis here upon a unique word, actually a number of unique words. But I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to check out a word that I'm going to read, transliterating for you from the Greek to the English, and let you draw a conclusion tonight of what you believe that this one particular Greek word would mean. I'm going to go back and let you see that the verse starts off, "See you, therefore," translating that you carefully walk as wise and not as unwise. I translated this in this manner. I put down the word carefully. See to it that you and I as believers walk carefully. And I'm now going to read the letters of this Greek word and let you draw your own conclusion. When I look at this Greek word, I find A-K-R-I-B-O-S. A-K-R-I-B-O-S. I'm giving you some silent moments to draw a conclusion. I'm not asking you to know the letters of the Greek alphabet and the letters of this particular word. I've read it for you. A-K-R-I-B-O-S. I'm not into your mind right now, and I'm not embarrassing you for one moment. You'll have to answer this for yourself. Did you draw a conclusion about what this word could possibly mean? I trust that you have, and that's fine. So now it's time for me to tell you. The word A-K-R-I-B-O-S could be translated accurate. If you drew that conclusion, then I want to comment you and compliment you. If you didn't, that's okay too. This is a word from God through the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian believers and to us here tonight. We have the responsibility of walking on a day-by-day basis in a proper relationship to Jesus Christ. We call it walking in the light. We call it traveling the magnificent highway of grace. We have the Greek word blepo, which is blepete here, and it is a present active indicative, second person plural, of blepo, which is to see and to be able to understand some things that we need to understand as believers. It's be aware of the fact that we have the responsibility of walking carefully, accurately, on a day-by-day basis. Then we have the Greek word peripateo, which means to walk. If you'll notice how we have it translated here, the Greek word is peripateo, and it is a present active imperative verb. Here it is in the root form, peripateo, peripateo. This is a compound word, two parts. One of it is to walk. The other is the preposition, which means around, to walk around. And so it is telling us that we have the responsibility as believers to walk carefully, to walk accurately in the light. See to it, then, therefore, that you walk carefully. And then we have unique words here, wise and not as unwise. What I've learned years ago is that you have a word in the Greek and you can discover what that word is. And then if you look at that word carefully and see again how it's translated, it has a little A at the beginning of it. It is known as an alpha privative. Whatever that word is, with that alpha privative, it means the opposite of that. And there's where we find it, right here. We have the word sophoi, S-O-P-H-O-I, which is the word for wise. And then it says, be sure that you're walking as wise. And then here's a negative adverb, not as. And here's S-O-P-H-O-I, but in the beginning of this word, there's that little A, alpha privative, and it's translated unwise. I just knew before I came tonight that you would be so excited about hearing that. And I wanted to take time out and let you see. It is the Word of God that tells us that you and I have the responsibility as believers to walk accurately, to walk properly, to walk in harmony, in fellowship with our Savior Jesus Christ. So I put it on the screen again. We're to walk carefully. We're to walk accurately every single day. That's what you have in our verse, Ephesians 5:15. What I want you to see now is that you and I have the responsibility of traveling. Last week, we've given you an emphasis on traveling the highway of God's grace. We've emphasized the journey that you and I are taking. And we've emphasized the importance of having some mountain gear. The mountain gear is spiritual food residing in our souls. We've emphasized the fact that we call this traveling the upward journey and doing so in the light. As we've analyzed Ephesians 5, 12, 13, 14, and now 15, we discovered that the Scripture emphasizes that sleeping spiritually describes the state of apostasy. When you go back to Ephesians 5:13, here's what you read. But all things that are proved are made manifest by the light. All things that are approved are made manifest by the light. When I go to Ephesians 5:14, I read, wherefore he said, quoting from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, awake thou that sleepest, rise from among the dead ones, and Christ shall shine on you, give you light. I don't know why, but sometimes I find a verse of scripture and I become so enamored and so fascinated by it that I just spend time analyzing the verbs in that particular verse. I have been trying now for several sessions to get to the seven verbs of this particular verse. And seems like every time I get up to preach, I get involved with other things and haven't done it. So I decided that this will be a good night. I want you to see that Ephesians 5:14 will be in Ephesians 5:15 before we leave tonight. But I want you to see that it says, wherefore, he said, a reference to Isaiah passage, awake, thou that sleepest. Get up, stand up from among the dead ones, those others who are spiritually asleep. And if you'll do this, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, will shine on you. Okay, I knew you would want this, so here we go. There are seven verbs here. The first one is the word said or manifested. It is the Greek verb phaneroo. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, even though I want to. The verb is a present passive participle, nominative neuter singular of phaneroo, which emphasizes manifested. Then we have a verb of being. Many years ago, we learned in the Greek class that the verb of being is eimi, E-I-M-I. And I find here the verb of being, present active indicative, third person singular. And then I read on and I see it says, awake thou. There's the verb of being. And then it says, he says, present active indicative, third person singular of lego. Okay, you're staying with me. Let's continue. The next word is arise. Let's look at it. I have it on the screen for you to see. It is a command. Present active imperative, a gyro. Get up. Stand up. And then it says, you sleeping ones, present active participle. And then it says, not only should you arise, but you are to now stand at attention, stand up. And the word is an aorist active imperative verb, on histeme, stand up. And then we get to this beautiful future tense verb, future active indicative, third person singular, and it says, and the Lord will shine on you. I can see how excited you are. I want you to know that when I look at verses 14 and 15, I feel like what I ought to do is to tell you that in this verse 14, where it says, "Awake, sleeping one," I put in my notes, this is applicable to us today. It is so fantastic that we see Ephesians 5:14. We must be able to see it from an exegetical standpoint. So I want to give you 10 points. I'm going to do this rapidly. You have to write rapidly. Number one, the verb here presents the importance of a humble return to the Lord Jesus Christ. What the verbs are telling us here is that each believer is to view his, her life, spiritual condition in the light of the truth of God's Word. If you're taking notes, the first point is these verbs in verse 14 presents the importance of a humble return to the Lord Jesus Christ. Each believer is to view himself, herself, and his own spiritual condition in the light of the truth of God's Word. Number two, we must see that we cannot be successful apart from spiritual perception and consistency in getting the thinking of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That, to me, is a most important point, too. We must see that we cannot be successful in life apart from spiritual perception and consistency in getting the thinking of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Stay with me. These are very, very important points. Number three, God assigns each one of us with a number of days, a number of years, not sure just how many. The Bible speaks of 70, that's 70 years, or perhaps some more. God assigns each one of us with a number of years. I do not know exactly, you do not know exactly, but God has designed us in such a fashion, and He's designed us to have a certain number of years on this earth. God assigns each one with a number of days, a number of years. This is the amount of time I believe that He allows us to get to the mountain peak of the echo zone. When I thought about this, I typed myself a little note to read to you. This is the amount of time God is allowing us to fulfill His design and reach the mountain peak of spiritual success. He reveals that the time that He has for us is ample enough. If we don't flub it. I type that in capital letters. I trust you're able to see it. If you can't, I want to read it to you. He allows us to get to the peak of Echo Mountain. He reveals that that is ample enough if we don't flub it. If we don't waste God-given time. And then I typed, "Don't choose to be indifferent to truth." God has allowed us a period of time, however much we don't know exactly. You're sitting in this auditorium this evening, whatever age you are, we do not know how long we'll be here. But I do believe that God has a plan and a purpose for each individual. So I put down, the Bible speaks of 70, that's 70 years, or perhaps some more. Whatever time it is, I believe it is the amount of time that He allows us to get to the peak of Echo Mountain, he reveals that that is ample time, enough time, if we choose not to waste God-given time. Don't choose to be indifferent. I'm saying this to myself. I'm saying this to you tonight. Don't choose to be indifferent to truth. If you're trying to be careful about taking notes, that's number three. Number four. God's people must know that there's a great conflict in progress. There's a great conflict taking place at this very moment. Be aware. Be aware of the reality of our present responsibility. That's number four. I repeat, God's people must know that there's a great conflict in progress. A conflict taking place at this very moment. Be aware. Be awake to reality of our present responsibility. That's number four. Number five. We must know that this great conflict, our Lord has provided all the help that we need. Number five again, we must know that in this time of conflict, our Lord has provided all the help that we need. It's amazing to me when I went over to Revelation 3:20 and I read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him, fellowship with him, and he with me." I believe that is so true. That's Revelation 3:20. Number six, we cannot afford to be spiritually asleep. We must be aware of time. When you're asleep, you're not aware of time. We must be aware of time. Number seven, sleeping spiritually is wasting God-given time. Sleeping spiritually is wasting God-given time. Number eight, time that we travel on the negative track describes apostasy of the soul. This is keeping the believer from God's very best. When you and I are spiritually asleep, we have chosen to keep ourselves from God's very best for us. Awake, arise, ye sleeping ones, and God will shine on you. Number eight again, time on the negative track describes apostasy. This is keeping the believer from God's best. Number nine, the believer must become awake, aware, and if need be, return. Recognition, repentance, restoration, refill. Notice those words I've used here on number nine. The believer must become awake, aware, return, which includes recognition, repentance, restoration, refill. Our verse is saying, arise, stand up, stand away from nekros, stand away from the things that are dead, the dead conditions. Please notice that backsliders are compatible with each other. They flock. When true believers begin to closely associate with the non-perceptive, they will eventually join hands and minds and be just like them, which leads eventually to the sin and the death. I trust you're listening. When I'm typing these things out, you have to understand my heart. You have to understand why I say things the way I do. You have to understand why I get you all mixed up on the point system. And sometimes I know you're saying, that was number 8 and I was on number 9. But that's okay. Do the best you can with what I do for you, okay? Go back to number 7. Sleeping spiritually is wasting God-given time. Number 8, time on the negative track describes apostasy. This is keeping the believer from God's very best. Number 9, the believer must become awake, aware. That's what this verse is saying, return. All of that includes recognition, repentance, restoration, refill. Arise, that's an imperative verb. Stand up, that's an imperative verb. Get away from that which is dead, dead conditions. And then I put down a little note here. If people are not careful and they get with negative people, what's going to happen is that if they become compatible with negative people, eventually their association with negative people, they will be also negative. Number 10, the challenge here is to move rapidly back into harmony, and the Lord Jesus Christ will shine on you, will give you light. This verse of Scripture is powerful. What we have here is what I call a spiritual walk. It says that we will be wise, sophoi, and not with an alpha primitive, unwise. We will be in light and not in darkness. We will be walking spiritually. This is a biblical concept of walking. When you go to Revelation 3:4, it says, walk with me. When you go to Galatians 5:16, it says, walk in the Spirit. When you go to Ephesians 5:2, it says, walk in love. When you go to Romans 8:1, it says, walk not after the flesh. Notice all those words. Walk with me. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Walk not after the flesh. Let's take some quick notes. Over the years, we've called this climbing grace highway, moving up to the mountain peak. We've emphasized this. We let you see a picture in your bulletin last Sunday. We've emphasized it again. We show you that you and I have the responsibility of moving rapidly up the highway of God's grace. On this way, there will be many distractions along the way. There will be many things that could knock us off the track. And when we choose to disobey, that means that we are out of harmony, out of fellowship. What we need to do is to be quick to get back in harmony and back in fellowship with our Lord. We call this the echo zone. So I'm giving you these points. Number 1, the echo zone believer walks consistently with the Lord. I realize that these are very normal, very unusual, not unusual, but usual types of thinking. The echo zone believer walks consistently with the Lord. What I think about when I think in terms of us walking consistently with the Lord, I see us not as obsolete individuals. What is an obsolete believer? one on the verge of being obsolete means a person who has no vigor, stagnant, not advancing, in fact about to die the sin of death. And that's the reason why I'm reminded again of Revelation 3:4. And that passage says that we have a remnant of non-defiled, truly committed believers walking with the Lord. Revelation 3:4. When I look at this, I discover that these individuals are what I would classify as locked in and traveling God's highway of grace. Number four, I see them walking in the Word, using the New Testament to reveal their pathway, filled with the Holy Spirit. These scriptures of Romans 8, 2 through 4, and Ephesians 5, 2, Ephesians 5, 18, Galatians 5, 16, all of these verses have to do with the fact that we are to be under the control of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." Number five, walking describes living one day at a time. Walking describes living one day at a time. Number six, in walking, balance is necessary. You and I are living in the devil's world, which demands what I would classify as balance. We call this balance of the soul. Balance of the soul is determined by a consistent diet of spiritual food. In walking, balance is necessary. We're living in the devil's world. We are responsible for living our lives in proper relationship to Jesus Christ. Number seven, walking describes God's system of learning. That's the reason why we have our verse, Ephesians 5:15. We're to be on guard, to walk accurately. One translation says to walk circumspectly. Walking describes God's system of learning. Ephesians 5:15, we're to be on guard, to walk accurately, to walk circumspectly. Number eight, there are areas of walking as a believer. Look at these. Number one, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, walk in faith. 3 John 3 says, walk in the truth. Philippians 3:18 says the Bible declares that some walk as enemies of the cross. But we're not to do that. We're not to be rebellious or non-perceptive to Christ or the living Word. The Bible uses the word walk to reveal a maturing believer. One who walks in the light, 1 John 1:7. One who walks in newness of life, Romans 6:4. One who walks worthy of his vocation, Ephesians 4:1. One who walks in good works, Ephesians 2:10 and Colossians 1:10. Let me close by telling you, God has provided everything needed for a successful, fruitful, abundant, victorious life. It's wonderful to know that we're to walk accurately. We're to walk as wise and not as unwise. We're to walk in the light. We're to walk away from those things that will take us down, the distractions of life. We're to walk in harmony with our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given us everything we need to be victorious in life. May we pray together, please. Father, help us to realize how wonderful it is that You've assigned us the responsibility of walking circumspectly. You've assigned us the task of walking accurately, to walk as wise individuals and not as unwise. As we leave this service tonight, help us to be aware of the fact that however many days you have for us on this earth, there's a reason and a plan that you have for us being here. We realize that our existence is not an accident. There's a purpose and a reason for our existence. We're here because you have a plan for us. We do not know exactly how long we'll be here, but we do know that every day that you give us is a gift from your grace. And we're to be wise, utilize all the ingredients that you've made available, utilize the tools. We've realized that you've given us a toolbox of spiritual blessings. We can utilize these tools and find ourselves thrilled and excited on a day-by-day basis. As we come now to the last few moments of this service, we're aware of the fact that every person in this auditorium perhaps has already accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We have the assurance that heaven is our home. There may be someone listening who's never accepted Jesus Christ. We're grateful tonight for the fact that you loved us so much that you were willing to come to this earth and provide salvation for mankind. And we realize that any individual hearing my voice this evening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as yet could do so, because the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It was Jesus who said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." This tells us very vividly that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. And we're thankful for that. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. The scripture says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. This simply means that the person who's accepted Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior has this life. The person who has not done that yet doesn't have that life. But they can, if they'll only trust you and believe. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.